This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss of VSiN will join us. We will go over the Tariq Skubal trade. We'll go over MLB futures awards, maybe get his thoughts on some football. But baseball is where we start. And, you know, trying to, and I was happy from, just a selfish content standpoint of doing this podcast. By the time you get it up and you listen to it, if Skubal wasn't traded, that would have been dicey to be like, man, what's going to happen with him? Well, if you talk about what's going to happen with him, by the time you listen to it, he's probably been traded or might have been traded. So glad from that perspective, he goes and it goes to a likely suspect. Forget this idea. I've been talking about the Phillies. Maybe they're a sleeper. It is Skubal to the Dodgers, and he's going to be ready to pitch pretty soon, having not pitched since Wednesday against the Orioles, which I think, and I talked about it on the pod for Friday, that might have been the trade that sunk him, that did this in from the Tigers' perspective, because that was a 7-0 lead. You had Skubal on the mound. He left when it was 7-1, and you lose that game. And actually won Friday, they won Saturday, and they enter play on Sunday, 2.5 out. And I was thinking maybe they played out until the end, which I can get to in a second, because you can make the case they made a terrible deal. They should have waited. But going to the Dodgers, it is Zahir Hope, Brady Smith, and River Ryan. Hope and Smith are AAA guys. River Ryan's a guy who's been hurt and hasn't been in the big league since 2024. But in 2024, four starts, 1.8 ERA. He was actually pretty good, but you know what? He's 27. He turns 28 in a week or two, and he's got a 4.5 ERA in triple play. I'm shocked it took this little. I'm shocked the Tigers, who, again, were right there, 2.5 out. I'm surprised they didn't wait until Monday and just say, hey, if we win on Sunday, do we give it another shot? Do we maybe think about keeping him? I get it if you were going to be just completely bowled over, and I get the idea of not wanting to lose him for nothing. I get that. You didn't want Ohtani from a few years ago from the Angels. But to get so little in return, to get, and you never know with this stuff, right? Especially with prospects. I remember years ago, the Lakers traded Pau Gasol for Marc Gasol. People called it the worst trade ever. People were just, this is fixed. This is rigged for the Lakers. Marc Gasol is going to the Hall of Fame. So that ended up not being the case in that brother-for-brother trade back in 2008. That ended up aging poorly. And maybe this, we look back 3-4 years and these guys are all-stars. It's the Padres Nationals Juan Soto trade, and the Padres end up giving up, Wood and Abrams and all these all-stars, and what looks one way at the moment looks completely different a few years later. That being said, on underwhelming return, you can question why the Tigers did it, why they did it this time. Like, this deal wouldn't have been there Monday. You couldn't have just waited and maybe got some better offers. The Brewers not doing it. The Braves not doing it. Even the Cubs, some of these other teams, I guess the Astros jumped in. I can't kill the Yankees for not doing it. I love to kill the Yankees for, not shopping at, the high end, top of the market for these players, but pitching wasn't a need. They have Cole, they've got Schwitler, they've got Frey. They need some offense. And if Skubal, unless he's picking up a bat, there was no need to, to do this if you're the Yankees, and you wonder where the Yankees are headed here at the deadline with really not that much out there. But you can question the Dodgers why, or the Tigers, why they did this, when they did it, and just getting so little back. And you can also, entertain the conspiracy theory. And I don't often entertain these conspiracy theories, but was this a situation where these owners, these mid-market owners, are so resentful of the Dodgers that said, once the winter comes around, we want this for negotiating purposes. Let's just let them go to the Dodgers. So if you're the Brewers, you don't pull the trigger on the deal. If you're the Rays, you don't pull the trigger on the deal. If you're the Tigers, you say, we could have sent you here or there. We'll send you to the Dodgers. So come the winter, we can scream bloody murder that it's not fair. We have no chance to compete. The DAC is stacked, which, look, this is about as crazy as it gets. I don't kill the Dodgers. The Dodgers are playing by the rules and they're trying to win. But this does feel a little bit like Durant to the Warriors back in 2016. Just look at it. 2 years ago, they were down 2-1 to the Padres in the divisional round. They were on the road facing elimination in game number 4 against Cease, and they had a bullpen game. They survived that. They won game 5 with Yamamoto against Darvish. They beat the Mets. They beat the Yankees. They won the World Series. And last year, not only they could have lost the World Series to the Blue Jays, they should have lost the World Series to the Blue Jays. So this, just because they won 2 in a row, it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to win. But right now, plus 150 to win it all, minus 110 to come out of the National League. Now, there's a lot of questions still. You got to, like, when is Snell, Ohtani, Glasnow, what are these guys going to pitch? But hey, Skubal, Yamamoto, I mean, if Robleski made the All-Star team, he can't even sniff the rotation once these guys are all back. Sasaki, they paid a fortune to. I guess you ship him to the bullpen. He's got a lot of talent, even though he's been up and down. It's just that they have this philosophy that, you know, we're going to get 8 or 9 legitimate pitchers that we believe in, that we trust to give the ball to in the playoffs. We don't care if they're injury prone, because you know what? 3 or 4 of them will probably be healthy come playoffs, and that's all we need. So, again, they make a mockery of the sport, but good for them. They're trying to win. They take the money and they put it back into the field. These other teams take the money and they put it in their pocket. But this does feel like a tipping point for baseball. All the conversations, will there be a season next year? Will there be a shortened season? I don't care how optimistic you are. It's hard to imagine there's 162 games of baseball next year, which really is a bummer. I'm sure the prediction markets will put up, you know, things you could bet markets on this of when the season will start, how many games we'll play. But there's just so much money at stake that I don't know that these players and owners are both stubborn enough to not figure something out. But man, the players are going to go down kicking and screaming if there's a salary cap. So like I said, Dodgers plus 150 to win it all, minus 110 to come out of the National League. You know, if he said, hey, I'm just going to put the Dodgers plus 150 to win it all, put it in the account, forget about it, and come October, come Halloween, I'll be happy I have it. Not the craziest thought. Is there like a ton of value on it? I don't know. I mean, the baseball playoffs are so random. Like I mentioned, could have lost to the Padres a couple years ago. And it wasn't that long ago, by the way. 22 and 23. They did lose to the Padres in 22 in the best of 5, the divisional round. In 23, they got swept by the Diamondbacks, both big upsets. And the Dodgers got a reputation. And the year before that, they lost to the Braves in the NLCS. The Dodgers had a reputation of, yeah, they won the one COVID trophy, but they're choked. They never went in the playoffs. It's quick. It's funny how quickly the narratives turn. But right now, if you told me plus 150, just put it in the account. Forget about it. They're the best team. Don't overthink it. I get it. I don't know that I'm going to do it, but I get it. So Tariq Skubal is funny. For a guy that's as good as him, I've heard his first name pronounced pretty much every different way. Tariq. I believe it's Tariq Skubal. I've said it multiple ways too, but Skubal is a Dodger here going forward. What's interesting from the Tigers, now they'll probably trade Casey Mize, they'll probably trade other guys, but I remember back in 2016, the Yankees, similar situation, on the fence, should we sell, should we buy, should we, you know, what should we do? They had Chapman, they had Andrew Miller. They lost on Friday and Saturday in Tampa right around the deadline, like the weekend of the deadline. The deadline was on a Sunday. And on Sunday, they said, you know what, we'll trade Miller, we'll trade Chapman, I think went a little bit before that. And they traded a lot of their guys. They traded Carlos Beltran, and they went from being 5 or 6 games out and looked like they punted on the season. Next thing you know, they called up Judge, they called up some other guys. They got red hot. They got to within a game of the playoffs. Now, they ultimately fell short, but just because you sell guys, there's still some talent on that team. They're 8-1 to make the playoffs. And 2 years ago, they traded Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers. They traded some other pieces. They got absolutely scorching hot, and they made it to the playoffs, and they made it to the best of 5 before they eventually lost to Cleveland. So Detroit 8-1 to make the playoffs, 15-1 to win the division. I don't know that I'm making those bets, but again, I don't know that those bets are crazy either. So, keep that in mind. Again, we're doing this on Sunday, and some of these moves will have been made here, so I don't want to talk too much about the deadline, but unless Mason Miller gets traded, look, you're going to get relievers always to move. You know, relievers will go. People are always looking for relievers. I don't know that you're going to get the splash, the Lindor, the Trout, the Devers. And maybe by the time you're listening to this, something crazy has happened. But you'll get the volume of moves. You know, the Michael Walker maybe to be traded from the Royals, maybe the All-Star team. Kevin Gausman, the Mets will trade you guys. The Giants will trade you pieces, although Devers, Adamas, some of those bigger contracts might be unmovable. I don't know you're getting like the huge splash moves if Mason Miller's not traded and they enter play Sunday, one game out. Boy, you're really going to sell? I mean, that GM Preller is so aggressive. He's really going to trade you the best closer in the sport when he's one game out of a playoff spot. I don't know that that's going to happen. So if that doesn't happen, you're looking at more volume of moves, more quantity, instead of like quality, where you get that seismic shift in the odds. Skubal's a big one. Skubal's as big as it gets. But other than that, I'm not sure what you're looking at here in terms of a deadline. But again, Mets will trade you, you know, Brazoban, maybe Luke Weaver, Luis Robert, Holmes, Peralta. So you'll get names you recognize, but we'll see here, you know, what Mitch Moss thinks coming up. We'll get his thoughts on it, but I don't know that anything going forward is going to be earth-shattering, but the deadline day is always fun. You know, you think back to past years, Randy Johnson going to the Astros. You know, just Verlander got traded to the Astros too, coincidentally. I think that was actually, that was back when they used to have the August 31st waiver deadline back in 2017. And he shifted, you know, that Astros team from being a good team to a team that ended up winning the World Series. So the deadline's always fun, but, you know, we'll see here what happens going forward. And it's just tough because there's not that many deals. You've heard for the Yankees for months, for weeks at least, Jeffers, the catcher for the Twins, will be a Yankee. Well, the Twins going to Sunday tied for a playoff spot. So you get the idea. There's not that many teams that are just completely out of it where I think adding these extra playoff teams, six in each league, it's just, it makes it so you add that, the extra playoff teams with the fact that the sport, there's so much mediocrity. There's only five, six, seven teams out of it. The Blue Jays out of it, the Rockies, the Giants, the Mets. There's a few, but it's not like it was 10, 15 years ago where you had a more distinct line between who were the contenders and who were the sellers and more players were available. Plus, it's just it's a sport where, you know, there's not a lot of offense and it's just, you know, it's hard to produce runs and there's just not a lot of bats out there with, you know, being available. And it's almost like pitching and hitting is flipped where pitching used to be so coveted. Now, yeah, pitching's still important, but it's just finding a guy that can hit 275 with a little bit of power is really hard to find. It's hard to find offense, you know, now at the deadline and just the nature of the sport and how dominant the pitching is. But coming up next, Mitch Moss, we'll get into the Scooble trade. We'll get into some futures. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. He is the co-host of Follow the Money. You catch him pod to the futures and he joins us now. It is Mitch Moss. Mitch, we got a lot to do. Baseball, we'll get to some football, but the news of the day, Tarik Skubal is a L.A. Dodger. I don't think that's a shock. A little surprising what the return is, but appreciate you coming on and your reaction to this move. Is it the same as most other people or, wow, I can't believe the Dodgers got him for so little. Terrible job by the Rays, the Brewers, these other teams. What was your first reaction here to this move?
I'm in the same boat. I mean, I could eat this in a year, two, three, whatever it is. I think the package they got in return was a catastrophe. I thought it was a horrendous job by the Tigers and the rest of Major League Baseball to not really outdo this from the Dodgers standpoint. There isn't really, I mean, they didn't get a top five Dodgers prospect. And oh, by the way, this is why it also drives me crazy. And I tweeted about this a little bit last night. I'll use an analogy for you. And it's in college basketball. So I'm from the state of Wisconsin. When Tyler Hero committed to Wisconsin, he was a four-star recruit. Will, the second that he flipped to Kentucky, magically, he went to a five-star status. All we hear about every single year, the Dodgers have one of the best farm systems in the entire league. Yeah. How many guys have panned out in the last 25 years in their farm system? We hear about it every single year. Super elite prospects. If you go back the last 7, 8 years... what they haven't really done anything. They've been flops for the most part. I'm willing to bank that the three players that they got in return, Detroit, that is, will probably never hear from them ever again. So yes, I'm an extremely bitter Brewers fan, but it's also their fault. You could have offered a better package than this to get the guy and actually have a better chance to beat this team for the first time ever.
Do you buy this conspiracy theory that all these teams, all these owners are kind of in on it? The Brewers and the Rays said, you know, we're not going to trade for him. And the Tigers said, well, you know what, we'll give him to the Dodgers, all with the idea of if he goes to the Dodgers, we can go to the negotiating table and say, hey, this is broken. This is a mess. So if I'm the Rays, I'm the Brewers, I'm underselling what I can give you. And if I'm the Tigers, who, by the way, they traded him Saturday night, they're 2.5 out of the playoffs entering Sunday. They could have waited another day. They could have waited another 36, 48 hours. That deal would have still been there. Do you buy there's a conspiracy angle here of, hey, let's get him to the Dodgers. Let's not trade for him. And then we can scream bloody murder here come the winter.
Sure. I mean, I'll buy into that a little bit. Do you? I mean, do you think that that's super far-fetched and could never possibly happen?
I don't think it's far-fetched. It seems unlikely. Man, if I'm the Brewers, if I'm any of these teams, I want to win, but I don't know how deep this goes with the owners in terms of the resentment. And again, I don't blame the Dodgers. I blame the Tigers. Hey, he's your best pitcher. Sign him up long-term or get a better deal for him or just go for him. I mean, you win on Sunday. We're recording this before the Sunday games. A game and a half out. I thought they might wait until the final day here and just take it up to the shot clock. I thought that loss, was it Wednesday, to the Orioles, where they're up 7-0, Skubal leaves with a 7-1 lead. I thought that was the death blow, but it was so minute by minute. It was so fickle that I thought maybe, you know what, if you win three in a row, then it's a tough conversation. Where were you like a week ago? Did you think this was inevitable with the Dodgers, or where did you think he was going to go? How surprised are you?
Well, so we can't get down on prediction markets in the state of Nevada. I did find the no on Milwaukee. Now, that was a heavy favorite. I kind of wanted to fire on the no for Milwaukee. I thought they should have been all in. I didn't think, based on their history, I didn't think they were going to be all in. And they were, the Dodgers were, and, you know, prediction markets, like, who had LeBron going to the 76ers? Nobody did. They were like 8%. But the Dodgers were hovering between like 42 and 47% for the entire week. And I think people are taking the wrong approach to be mad at the Dodgers. Why would you be mad at the Dodgers? They're going for it. They're the one team that keeps trying to actually win. Blame the other teams. Like you said, blame Detroit. I actually bet today, Will, when you look at their overall numbers, like with WAR, you know, some of the guys who are producing really well throughout the entire year offensively, but also more importantly, pitching-wise, their schedule is absolutely doable. I took a decent bet on a little bit more than a half unit, or in that neighborhood, of Tigers plus 790 to make the playoffs. I don't think it's crazy talk at all. And this could be one of those things where, with their schedule, now the players remaining on the team can have like a chip on their shoulder and maybe outperform, and maybe actually do a little bit. Like, they never lived up to expectations for the first couple of months anyway, and they've had a positive run differential the entire time despite losing all these games. So I think that's not a bad bet at all. So just I'm as a baseball fan, I'm a little bit miffed as a bettor trying to find like opportunities to take advantage of. And that's one that I came up with.
I remember in 2016, the Yankees were in sort of a similar situation, sort of on the fence, fringe, make playoffs, no playoffs. Girardi was still there. Judge hadn't been called up yet. They lost on Friday night and then again on Saturday at Tampa. Then Sunday morning, I think the fire sale started. They traded Andrew Miller to Cleveland, winning a pitch in the World Series. They traded Chapman to the Cubs. And ironically, that Judge came up a couple weeks later, and that's when they actually made a run and got within like a game of the playoffs. They traded Carlos Beltran. They traded a couple other guys. And I thought the same thing with the Tigers, right? You know what? River Ryan, he pitched four starts for the Dodgers in 2024. 1.1 ERA, maybe he comes up and gives you some good starts. And they might trade Mize, they might trade some of these other guys, but I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world. Dodgers plus 150 to win it all, minus 110 odds on to come out of the National League. Are either of those worth a bet, or is it too short, or is the situation, you know what, put it in your account, forget about it, it's not sexy, but you'll be happy come October you have it. Where do you come down on that?
I think it's actually, you tell me, I kind of like, now you can burn money doing this, obviously, and lose a bunch of bets, but I do find them fun, and we're not talking about like serious money anyway, more like pizza money, maybe a little bit more than that sometimes. How about Dodgers with some cross-sport parlays?
Thought about that. Thought about exact forecast, where if you think they're that good, you pick your team, you pick, you know, whatever flavor of ice cream you like in the American League. And they're playing the Red Sox right now, 15-1 for the Dodgers to beat the Red Sox, 9-1 to beat the Yankees. Could you go down that road? The American League's so wide open. I look more down the board here. I don't love the Mariners. White Sox, them to beat the White Sox at 22-1, I'd probably need more, but I think getting clever with it is not a bad approach. What are you thinking?
How about Dodgers over Tigers exacta?
Skubal versus the Tigers in the World Series? Boy, that would be fun. What is that
but
pay?
The only reason why I brought that up is because I do have a bet, like I said, on them to make the playoffs. Somebody reached out to me today, and they said they're taking them 15-1 to win the division. I can't get there because Cleveland has the easiest schedule remaining in baseball. But the American League absolutely stinks. I trust none of these teams. I think I've tapped out on the Mariners. No thanks. You can have every single share of Seattle moving forward. The Yankees are the team, but I have no, again, the health, assuming health, it has to be the Yankees, then to me, and then it's probably Rays, but then McClanahan gets dinged up, and you like anybody in the Central? I don't like anybody in the West, so I think what you said there, Dodgers over some long shots, and maybe put a couple of those in the portfolio is not a bad idea.
Dodgers over Tigers at DraftKings, 80-1. And now that you mentioned the Tigers and the Dodgers, it was only 2 years ago. I brought up the Yankees example from 2016. Remember 2 years ago, the Tigers trade Flaherty and then they get red hot and make the playoffs. So these things do happen. Is 80-1 enough for you to pull the trigger?
Maybe. I don't, probably not, to be honest. I think I'd need a little bit more than that.
I was thinking, I mean, I was thinking it'd be a little bit more than that, but I mean, what about like from a storyline perspective and just the irony if these guys met up again in October, but still a long way to go until then. Last minute or so here, and we can continue this on the other side. I want to go through some of these divisions. Who wins the AL East?
Well, again, Yankees are too dinged up for me. I think, let's see here, the current price that I can find right now, Tampa Bay, you've had a chance to bet Tampa Bay at plus money the entire year. Now their odds on the way it looks at every single book. I wouldn't bet them at this point because you missed out the entire time, but I think the Rays probably hang on. It's a great organization. You got to respect the daylights out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, Rays minus 130, Yankees plus 160, and the Red Sox, who are coming hard, 22-3 in July, is just absolutely incredible numbers. And as I was mentioning before, and we'll do this on the other side, talking to Mitch Moss, follow the money, pod to the future. It's you know, the National League, the races are pretty much spoken for. We know the Braves probably going to win the East. The Phillies haven't played well. Central looks like it's Milwaukee. The West looks like it's the Dodgers. In the American League, nothing is really spoken for. American League's kind of wide open. Maybe a three-team race now. Yankees, Rays, and Red Sox. AL Central, Guardians, White Sox, if you want to throw the Tigers in there. And then the West, which is just a mess. And the Rangers are a team you just can't trust, man. It's just a week ago, they're beating Seattle 3 out of 4. Could have won all four. And here they are, you know, scuffling. DeGrom hasn't been the same. And now Houston enters play Sunday in first place. But coming back with Mitch Moss, we'll go through these divisions, we'll go through some awards, maybe do a little football. So keep it with us. Should have bet more podcast, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Remember, this podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m. Hits your feed wherever you get your podcast. Stick around, Mitch Moss, Pod to the Future, follow the money. All right, we are back. Mitch Moss, follow the money. All right, Mitch, AL Central. White Sox now, I think for the first time, are odds on minus 105. Cleveland plus 240. Twins, well, I forgot about mentioning you there, and I think they've gotten quite a bit forgotten about here. Plus 380, and then the Tigers, like we talked about, 15-1. Is there a bet to be made here? If you had to bet someone, where would you go?
Boy, at this point, and this is coming from somebody who has absolutely zero money on the White Sox this year, and I regret that big time. You can have Cleveland at plus 240 in that neighborhood, and they have the easiest schedule remaining in all of Major League Baseball. They have remaining games. They have 3 against the Angels, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the A's, 6 against the Royals, and some games against the Mets as well. Now, it's kind of splitting hairs because the White Sox also have a very easy schedule. It is 6th easiest overall. Twins are 8th. I actually have a bet on Minnesota at a little bit shy of 70-1 for most wins in August. I added them Saturday morning before that market was taken off the board along with San Diego and Tampa. They lost a heartbreaker to Seattle on August 1st, but I think the Twins can also take off and get in the mix. But just you have Gavin Williams going every 5 days. Guy's been a strikeout machine. The Indian sticks I can't, or guard, listen to me, the Guardian sticks I can't trust. But right now I would say maybe Guardians or Twins. You don't want to lay a price with the White Sox, do you?
Probably not. And man, I thought about them when they were 50-1 because I liked their over. I thought, you know what? Why am I going to hit submit on this? This is going to be a waste of money. And I ended up not betting it. I think I got in later like 20-25-1, which I'll still be happy if it hits. But yeah, nice one. It was almost just a FOMO bet, but man, 50, very rarely do you get a division winner in Major League Baseball 50-1 to come through, but you they're, know, Will, they're knocking on the door.
I did see that a website that tracks like the history of these odds.
Yeah,
they did it. I think they had the White Sox posted at 100 back in December.
Wow.
Yep.
And they think about this
for 1 second. Like, look at the divisional odds in the NFL this year. Do you want the Arizona Cardinals?
Arizona, exactly. And you know what? In football too, in football it's a little bit like, you know what? It's a smaller sample. Quarterbacks get hurt. You win it at 9-8. Baseball, it doesn't happen just because it's such a bigger sample. Through the course of 162, the cream rises to the top. You can't sort of fake your way to, you know, we got lucky. We went 10-7. We got some turnovers. This quarterback got hurt, and we kind of steal a division. So in football, as crazy as Arizona and how far-fetched that seems, baseball, just you don't get this stuff because the sample size usually washes these teams out. I want to get your thoughts on some awards, but just quickly, the West, which is just gross. Astros plus 125, Rangers plus 170, Mariners plus 280. Who wins? Is there a bet?
I go... I think, well, it's going to come down to the top two teams. This Seattle team, I hate every fiber in their being. I can't stand them. Last year was their year. I think their pitchers have become wildly overrated at this point.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I think now, again, we're taping this in advance of the deadline. So a lot can happen by the time we're talking right now, Will, and the deadline passes. I think the Astros are going to be active again this year. So I'd go with them.
Awards. The one that's fascinating, NL MVP. We'll see what Ohtani, you know, when he hits the mound again, if he hits the mound again. And with Skubal, you know what? You got Robleski and you've got Glasnow and Snell probably on their way back. I don't know if you need Ohtani on the mound. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to push the pitch. Your thoughts? I know you got some bets, but let's just leave those to the side for a minute. If you had nothing, Ohtani minus 140, Crow Armstrong is even money, Wood is 28-1, everyone else starting with Schwarber's 50-1 or longer. Is there a bet to be made right now, NL MVP?
Man, you can't bet. Well, I think Ohtani's the bet right now at minus 140. That or Wood. You can't, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. This is coming from somebody who does. I did buy in on PCA at the beginning of his hot streak at 80. Oof. So I have him. I need to maybe take myself out of this conversation. And having said that, I did come back with a couple of units on Ohtani at minus 130. If they had to vote for the award today and it was $1.40, I would absolutely pound Ohtani. I think he would win as of right now. The unknown is what's going to happen over the next 2 months and how much say, like you brought up, will Ohtani have? And hey, look, PCA is catching me. I want another MVP. I need to get back there on the mound. I think if Ohtani wants to pitch, he might overrule the entire organization. We'll see. But if he doesn't pitch again this year, then I think PCA becomes obviously the guy that's going to win the award. Now, again, I don't want to bet him at even money. The thing about the Nationals is this. When you look at James Wood's numbers along with CJ Abrams, you cannot deny how unbelievable they have been this entire year. But will the voters give the MVP to a player on a non-playoff team? Don't you think the Nationals have to be in the playoffs? I know it hasn't... It's such a numbers game, and we're doing like deep dives into analytics and advanced numbers, and it's not just the typical baseball card stats anymore, but I don't know if voters would give it to a Washington National player. Is that really going to happen?
Yeah, I think that's unlikely. Not impossible, but unlikely. Anything in the Cy Young, Mizorowski minus 400, and then the American League Schlettler's odds on. Looks like a two-horse race between him and Cease, but hey, still plenty of time to go for some of these other guys. Rasmussen pitched great on Saturday. You know, he's 22-1 to get back in the mix. Is there a bet to be made in either Cy Young market in your mind?
The American League is down to two, I think. I don't think Rasmussen can pull this off. Do you have a ticket on Schlettler?
No, I took him most wins at 100-1 because I had Fried last year at 35-1 most wins. I was like, you know, Schlittler, I like his upside. Sure. Yankees should have a good bullpen. They should be able to hit. Maybe the limit is innings, but I could still get the wins if he has like five innings out. I didn't think Cy. I wanted to bet him. I just chose the wrong market. I know our buddy Matt Humans has him 300-1. It's frustrating. The bullpen's blown a ton of his wins. I had the right idea, but doesn't look like that's going to get home. Very frustrated.
Yeah, I do think it's down to those two guys, but I really don't have any interest in taking Dylan Cease right now. At plus 125 is the best number that I see in the market. In the National League, Sanchez was great over the weekend. He's plus 850. Now, he came back to reality big time after his like historical May. What does he have to do along with Mizorowski at the same time to actually pull this off? As I'm not going to tell you right now that it's over with. I think there's only one award that's over with. And that's American League MVP, assuming that Alvarez stays healthy the entire time. I don't think the NL Cy Young is over with, just because I don't know how the Brewers are going to handle Miz's innings down the stretch. So, I mean, do you think right now Sanchez, after a good performance on Saturday, is worth it at nearly 9-1?
So I like to say I've made worse bets. I've made worse bets. I don't think that's terrible.
I think we have 2 months left.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We do. We do have 2 months left. And, you know, the recency bias, finishing strong, all of those things are very real when it comes to award voting. So if Mizorowski struggles or got hurt or Sanchez just goes back to the dominant form he was kind of middle of the season or beginning of the season, who knows? 9-1, not a terrible number. Last couple minutes here, we'll switch gears to football. What is your favorite NFL future that you have bet? If you can just, you know what, I'm going to wipe your account clean. I'm going to cancel all your futures. You can keep one, almost like, you know, protecting something in the expansion draft. What would be the one bet you keep? What's your favorite one?
it would come down to two different win totals, and it would be the Lions over 10.5. I laid 15 cents with that, or the Saints 7.5 over minus 25. Just both teams based on how easy their schedule set up this year. But I would probably go Lions, and the juice has moved quite a bit on that. But I can trust this team. Dan Campbell can be a wild card, but I really do love that guy. 1 year removed from Ben Johnson as the magician at play caller there. But I think with all of the talent that they have coming back on offense, Goff has been really good. I think this is a career year set up for Gibbs. The offensive line might be a little concerning. The Arnold thing does not, he's not a good player anyway, so that I'm not really freaking out about that. I think the Packers are not a very good team this year. I don't know what to make about the Vikings, and you could convince me either way with the Bears in that division. So I think worst case scenario there is probably 3-3 in their division. And after that, look at the schedule. It is just beautiful for this team. So give me the Lions over 10.5.
Last minute, college football, favorite bet, team, award, you name it.
It was Texas Tech a while back, and this number is still available, around even money to win the Big 12. I went back and looked this week, actually. Professional bettor Brad Powers came on our show on August 28th. This was after the first of like 19 different turns in the Sorsby situation in the case. He said at that time, take him away, adjust about 3 more points in his opinion. Per his numbers, they're going to be double-digit favorites in every single game this year. It's, look at that schedule. So it's Tech. They avoid everybody in the league. And they're going to be a freight train again this year. So it's even money to win that conference.
Mitch, appreciate the time. Pod to the future. Follow the money. At Moss Radio on Twitter, I think is the right handle here.
At Mitch Moss Radio, yeah.
At Mitch Moss Radio. There we go. Mitch, appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where we can find you.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah, just every day, Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern Time on VSiN with Paulie Howard on Follow the Money. And the podcast with JBT, like you said, is called Pod to the Futures, which we do once a week.
All right, we will be back. Should have bet more podcasts wrapping up after this. Stay tuned. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast. Thank you to Mitch Moss. Wrapping up here, I'll give you some thoughts, baseball, and I'll get into some football too, because there's a couple added thoughts I've had here as we get closer to football season. But just, piggybacking off some of what Mitch said, man, Texas, a couple of takeaways from the weekend. Texas, just every time you want to trust this team, and this is going back a couple years, every time you're getting ready to think, all right, you know what, DeGrom, Eovaldi, the lineup's getting healthier, they just fall on their face. DeGrom was bad on Saturday night. He has not been good. And, I had mentioned him earlier in the year of, he's traded a little bit of velocity and that dominance. He's not that dominant anymore, but at least he's good and he's healthy. He just hasn't been great in a while. So Texas, a game under 500 entering play on Sunday, plus 170 to win the West. Somebody's going to win it. Somebody's going to win it by default. And I'm starting to wonder, man, you might get like an 82 and 81 type of team winning that division, because Seattle doesn't impress you. You keep waiting with their pitching, and they made a trade Saturday night. They trade Castillo, who's not really himself anymore. He used to be a really good pitcher. He's serviceable at best at this point. And they make room for Cade Anderson, who's a big-time prospect, to come up. We'll see if they have more moves up their sleeve. You keep waiting for that pitching to just carry them to a 7 out of 8, and that's enough to put you in first place. But, and I mentioned this before, that pitching is a little overrated, too. Kirby, Gilbert, anytime you need those guys in a big spot, or anytime I bet on those guys for sure, you could count on, 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 innings, 5 runs, that kind of performance where they just leave you underwhelmed. So, yeah, somebody's going to win it. Astros plus 125, Rangers plus 170, Seattle plus 240. I don't love them, but I probably just take a shot, figuring it's the longer price with Seattle at plus 240. That's probably the way I'd go. But Texas, once again, a disappointing weekend. After winning 3 out of 4 against Seattle a week ago and looking like they were in good shape, it could have, should have swept. The one game they lost, that Sunday game up 3-1, they have not followed up. They have not played well here. And the other team that I have concerns about that I am rooting for as well, Pittsburgh. Now, they won a game on Saturday they desperately needed, but a horrible loss on Friday night. They had multiple 2-run leads. They were up 2 runs going into the 8th. They gave up 3, including the go-ahead run on an error where third baseman fields a ground ball and he throws to second when the play should have been to first. That ends up being the winning run for the Reds. And Skeens just is not Skeens. We've kind of danced around it, kind of, given the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this, maybe that. All-star break, maybe he'll be fresher. He had a start against Cleveland a couple weeks ago. seven innings, one run, you're thinking, all right, you know what? Maybe he's just in a little bit of a slump. When you go four or five starts in a row without throwing 98 miles an hour, and you look at the number of pitches he hits 98 miles an hour on through the course of his career, it's 40, it's 38, it's 35. He's consistently 98, 99. And when you're down 95, 96, you just got to wonder if he's hurt. You just have to wonder if he's hurt. Now, I wouldn't imagine the Pirates put him on the IL before the trade deadline just for negotiating standpoint, because you don't want another team holding your feet to the fire and saying, hey, Skeens is hurt. You need this guy. You need that guy. I'd be a little bit almost surprised if he made his next start. He just does not seem like himself. And you start to wonder, I mentioned this before, if these pitchers are made and meant to throw so fast and if it's sustainable, because this is a new era of baseball. This wasn't around 5-10 years ago where all these guys threw 98-100 miles an hour consistently. I mean, look at Strider a couple years ago, Spencer Strider of the Braves. He would have been on the short list if you could say a couple years ago, hey, what pitcher would you want when you consider talent and age? Strider would have been on you know, if not one, probably behind Skeens, probably behind another guy. But Strider would have been on that list, on the short list. And he never pitches anymore. And when he does pitch, he's very mediocre. You just wonder if these guys kind of sell their soul for the velocity. It will be sad because Skeens is great for baseball. You know, he's on the Pirates, and the irony with the Pirates, his first 2 years in the majors, the team stunk, but he was great. Now the team around him is actually pretty good, and he can't live up to it, and he can't, you know, hold up his part of the deal. And early in the season, I mentioned this a number of times on this podcast, he's bound to throw a no-hitter. He's due to throw a no-hitter. Every start was like no hits into the sixth, one hit into the seventh. He was dominant, and which is what makes me think he's hurt. He was dominant up until, you know, middle of May, early June. It's not like, you know, this is a year-long thing. People have blamed the WBC. I wonder if Skeens is dealing with some kind of injury, and, you know, you hope it's not the worst. You hope maybe just a little bit of a dead arm. He's tired. I wonder if they put him on the IL, give him a little 10, 15-day rest, and see if they can get him back to being where he needs to be. Right now, Pirates, you know, enter play Sunday, just a few games out of a playoff spot where, you know, I want to believe in him. I like the rest of the team. I like Ashcraft. I like Jared Jones. But it's just hard to think here as they are 2.5 out of a playoff spot. I mean, it's not the end of the world. But if Skeens is not going to be Skeens, it's hard to see them being what we hope they could be. And man, if you had the version of Skeens from the last couple of years or early in the year with Ashcraft, with Jones, with a better lineup, I know O'Hearn's hurt now. So maybe it's just falling apart here for the Pirates. But like the divisions are pretty much spoken for. The Brewers 7-game lead in the Central, Dodgers forget it in the West, they're gone, and the Braves 8-game lead in the loss come on Philly. So the divisions in the NL are pretty spoken for, and you pretty much know what you're going to get. It just comes down to the wild cards, which right now Chicago, Arizona, and Philly, and then San Diego is a game out. Marlins are lurking a couple games out, as are the Pirates. Then you get the team like the Nationals, the Cardinals that come back down to earth. Reds kind of on the fringe of a... And then in the American League, again, the races are great. Rays, Yankees, throw the Red Sox in there, a three-team race. Central, Guardians, Tigers, Twins. The Tigers are on the fringe, but White Sox, Guardians, Twins, Tigers, even at 15-1, and then mention the three teams in the West. And right now, the three wild cards, the Yankees and the Red Sox, which would be a rematch of last year, and Minnesota with the third wild card spot. I mean, who the hell had that? What an afterthought they were and they've been. I know a lot of people, I think people came on this podcast and said, hey, it might be a sleeper, worst record. You know, Buxton's hurt a lot. They trade Joe Ryan, and here they are, 500. And right now, 500 in the American League would be good enough to get the final wild card spot. They are in a dead heat entering Sunday with Cleveland, half a game ahead of Texas, a little ahead of Baltimore. Maybe Baltimore is a team that can, you know, make a little bit of a run here. That's a team with a lot of talent. So interesting rest of the season. I know once football starts, it's all football all the time, and there's games on every day of the week. But these pennant races, you know, they get lost a little bit, but they don't get lost with me, or I try not to on this podcast, because baseball in the fall is still a lot of fun once you get to the pennant races and into the playoffs. Wrapping up with football here, you know, I think that one bet I've talked about a little bit, and I like it more and more as the season comes, and I usually don't like it because this is my team and they've done nothing but torture me my entire life. Minnesota at 55-1 to win the Super Bowl, plus 530 to win the NFC North. I like it more and more, man. I think Murray is going to provide just competent enough quarterback play, something they really haven't had. They had it for Darnold a little bit 2 years ago, and we saw what that team did. They won 14 games, Flores is almost like an automatic top 10 defense, the defensive coordinator. He's almost like an automatic top 10 defense no matter what you give him. And I know Caleb Banks, the first-round pick from Florida, has a lot of talent, but he's been hurt. The best version of that defense could be, I don't know, a top-five defense. They've got skill guys. They've got a lot of talent. And you can poke holes in Detroit. Maybe they missed their window. The offensive line's not as good. The defense isn't as good. They don't have Ben Johnson. There's a lot you can poke holes. They missed their window, all of those things. The Bears, probably some regression there. And then the Packers, who knows? Boy, Minnesota to me is a very good bet, a little over 5-1 to win the division, 50-something to 1 to win the whole thing. Do they win the whole thing? Of course not. I don't know that I'll ever get to see the Minnesota Vikings win the whole thing, but you know what? You get the idea. You get them in the NFC title game or close, and you can earn off that ticket. I just think that number's a little bit longer than it should be, where coming into last year, they had McCarthy, an unproven commodity at quarterback, and their numbers were a lot shorter. Now they've got an addition here at quarterback, an upgrade at quarterback with Murray, and Murray's going to be the starter. You could save all this stuff, but it's a competition. It's going to come down to the last minute. It's not going to come down to the last minute. It's going to be Murray at quarterback. I like Minnesota. I think they are undervalued here. So they start with Green Bay. The market has bet Minnesota, you know, pretty aggressively this summer. And I think that's the right move. I think it's a good home field advantage, too. That building gets loud. Now, Green Bay has a habit of taking over that building when those teams play. But, again, I think Minnesota here is being slept on a little bit. I would not be surprised, as we are just a few days away from the Hall of Fame game. Everything a little later this year. Hall of Fame game August 7th here on Thursday. You know, a week later than usual. Last year was late July, which was a little earlier, but first NFL Sunday is not till the 13th. Week zero in college football is not till the 29th. So for whatever reason, everything is pushed back a little this year to the point where the Super Bowl February 14th is about as late, not about as late, it is as late as I can ever remember. I'm pretty sure it's as late as it's ever been, unless I'm missing something or not remembering something. That's a really large late start for everything. But you know what? The later it goes, that means the closer it gets us once it comes to the end of, you know, college basketball, the NCAA tournament, things like that. So don't mind it starting late, because it going late is not the worst thing. But I think Minnesota, like I said, all of these numbers are very bettable. Yeah, I think they're going to be good. I know people don't like Murray. People don't trust him. But remember, he was a legitimate top 10-ish quarterback at points in Arizona. He's going to be playing with so much more talent and a better coaching staff than he ever had. He's not going to have to do that much. So what could go wrong? Me having faith in the Minnesota Vikings. But that'll do it. We'll be back on Wednesday. Remember, this podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Mitch Moss. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.